reading some evidence penned by me. I have on my left Grant Higgins. He's the director of PMB Land Co Limited, owner and developer of some of the surrounding Northeast Industrial Zone land, which is close to adjacent to the rail hub.
Welcome.
So I have given you the sum total of a page and a half of my notes so that you have them that I won't be expanding much from, but we'll deliver today. We're obviously here available for questions. Bernard Higgins actually is also here in attendance in behind, as I've noted in the introduction.
Welcome, Bernie.
So, this is a joint submission from three land development companies, PMB Land Co Limited, Brian Green Properties Limited, and Combill Property Limited. For the record, PMB Land Co is a private landowner, a member of the Central New Zealand Distribution Hub Stakeholders Group, which is quite a mouthful, and supports that group's submission, which you heard this morning, and which seeks a stronger partnership with KiwiRail to achieve the synergies necessary to deliver a world-leading road, rail, air freight hub for the Lower North Island. So this particular submission is also in general support, but does also raise just two issues. My expert evidence deals with one of those, being the scope of activities authorised by the designation, and the need for clearer definition of the activities within the freight hub site that are being authorised by this designation. The second matter relates to stormwater. This matter is not being pursued in any evidential basis today because it is understood that the council and other key stakeholders are committed to addressing wider stormwater strategy for this location as part of the integrated master planning work that is the focus of the Central New Zealand Distribution Hub stakeholders' submission. This is, in my opinion, quite crucial in a strategic planning sense, and I expect the council to talk further about this stormwater matter as part of the proposed integrated master planning in their presentation. Hopefully, to the extent that you are satisfied that the freight hub designation is not premature, i.e. ahead of the needed wider planning process. My evidence focuses on the other issue, and that is largely about the planning methods for the authorisation of this project. The principal issue is the need for you to be satisfied that the requiring authority, KiwiRail, is financially responsible for the construction and operation of the public work proposed. I have proposed that this can be largely addressed by way of definitional certainty in relation to log handling and bulk liquid storage. The freight forwarding activities and associated private sidings are more problematic. It is understood that these are designed to accommodate, quote, freight partners, such as Main Freight, PBT and Toll, who are in the existing yard, of course. These are not minor ancillary concessions. Mr. Skelton's evidence at 412 states it will consist of facilities for four major freight forwarders, each of 22,000 metres squared, and six smaller covered areas, each being 11,600 metres squared. Appendix A, that's Appendix A to Mr. Skelton's evidence, shows this totals 150,000 metres squared, and that's 15 hectares of land. The KiwiRail legal submission at 4.9 states that, quote, KiwiRail accepts financial responsibility for its network utility operation. It is the existence of this financial responsibility that is important. I agree. You therefore need to be satisfied that private sidings and private companies operating freight forward facilities are part of the operation of KiwiRail, as in its railway network. I note in my evidence, of course, that part, but only part, of the area to be occupied by these facilities is within the Northeast Industrial Zone, which provides for such activities. In the event that you are satisfied that KiwiRail is financially responsible for these works, then it is important that these specific activities are also clearly defined in the designation. On the information available, this might be something akin to freight forwarders whose operations are reliant on individual access to a rail siding, or something akin to this. But basically, I leave it for your inquiries to satisfactorily address this matter, but I'm obviously happy to answer any questions, as is Grant in a wider sense.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas, and welcome Mr. Higgins as well. Mr. Thomas, why is it of concern to your clients in particular about what is included within the scope of the designation or not?
It's a concern that Kiwi Rail doesn't seek to be a trade competitor with other strategic areas of land around. My clients don't have a problem if the freight forwarding activities that require railhead are the activities that are authorised if you can legally do so. This is a submission in support. It is not a submission opposing the freight hub. But it's a submission that says, well, actually, you've got to get the planning methods right for this thing. It's not unusual for designations that have varied activities to also sit on top of a zone that provides for those activities.
Were you able to listen in to days 1 and 2 of this hearing?
Some of it, yes.
Did you pay, were you able to listen in particular to the evidence which we received from, Mr. Skelton, in terms of Mr. Skelton and Mr. Moyle and Ms. Paulson, in terms of how the hub would operate?
So I've read some of that evidence, but I didn't hear all the hearing conversation around it.
And did you hear this morning? Were you here at 9 o'clock this morning?
No.
No. So you didn't hear what we heard from the central CEDA as well. So what we have heard from those parties is that these freight forwarders would lease the land rather than actually be owners per se. So ownership would be retained in Kiwi Rail. And we also heard about the different levels of service, I suppose you could say, or level of users of the freight hub, with level one users being those which are the freight forwarders, which basically are getting containers and other goods off the trains or loading them back on. Mm-hmm. It's that you're concerned about, that user, that first level user.
Grant will talk to us.
Good afternoon. I think there needs to be a clear definition of those services. If you look at, we've been talking about the freight hub all this morning, and Kiwi Rail bring the rail hub to this part of the city. There's a wider area in the part of the city that actually contributes to the freight hub. So if you look outside of the designation of the rail hub, these freight activities with distribution centres that are being set up around this area, which will define in the long term road, rail, air for the Palmer's North and wider region, which is really important. The tenants that are in and around the area and some of the landowners that have invested in the area obviously want some clarity about what Kiwi Rail does do, because you're right, they will be a landlord, but they'll be a competing landlord with other private developers that have invested in the land in and around So I think it's very important that the this process here defines who does what more precisely, so that the freight hub, let's call it, which is a combination of existing freight activities and the rail hub, becomes world-renowned because it's got that opportunity now. So that's why we're targeting in on the specific level one user and being very, very defined on that. And we'd like to know more about that from KiwiRail. But that is also why we as a private developer are in support with, let's call it, the CNZ Distribution Stakeholder Group, Hub Group, because it will define this area. So,
Mr. Thomas, in preparing your submissions and your evidence, did you review how other KiwiRail operations work around the country at all?
Yes, I'm familiar with quite a few that basically have business zones or industrial zones sitting underneath them, and non-KiwiRail activities or land that they lease is consented or addressed through that mechanism. Wellington's an example, where you've had redevelopment of rail yards over the last 10, 15 years with major freight forwarding freight operators. They don't have private sidings, to my knowledge, but you also made the comparison on the part of the hearing that I was listening to with airports. Palmerston North Airport has some minor designations and a designation for a runway extension, but basically the airport is run under a zone. Many airports have a wider designation, and they feel like they're non-core air activities that they're not financially responsible for, operated under a zone.
Turning to the other side of your submission, you sought that the proposal be amended to provide replacement stormwater detention capacity, and you referred to the existing structure plan for the land as well. You've said you're not going to talk about that today, but I'd quite like to be able to better understand what your concern is in that regard.
Grant.
Look, we get into quite a technical area, so I don't know if we've got any flood modellers here, but I'm sure the Council and Horizons and many, many people and KiwiRail have looked at this. This is an area that is affected by flood and stormwater, and with national policy statements is now more important than ever. But there is only a limited amount of land that is designated in and around the rail hub, and some of the rail hub was northeast industrial zoned, which did have quite an area of stormwater set aside to be held, attenuated and treated. There's other areas outside of the rail hub in the northeast industrial zone that also has that, and every development and developer now has to do that. But as part of the stakeholder group that you heard from this morning, it's probably more important than ever that that all the groups get a better solution, because there is a better solution, there will be a better solution in terms of stormwater treatment, so it's bigger than KiwiRail themselves our own developer and everyone. So it's a discussion to be had, and better, more efficiently solved.
So what would you like us to do about that?
Well, that wasn't particularly part of the submission. Our submission was to do with clearer definition of the level one user, and getting, it is still quite broad with freight forwarder, but it needs to be more considered in its definition and tighter, so that the current investment in and around the area can be better defined. So it is a world leading road rail air hub. So to go into the stormwater discussion, I don't think is part of that. That would go over into the CNZ distribution stakeholder group, I believe.
You heard
from that this morning. That's my recommendation, that it's taken and considered in there.
You can make recommendations to the council in and around your recommendation that are not part of your recommendation back to Kiwi Rail, but are matters that arise out of your examining of the issues. And one of those might be consequential matters arising out of this designation. One, for example, would be the need to amend the structure plan for the Northeast Industrial Zone, because the bit of detention area specifically shown on the structure plan that we referred to there, that is taken up by rail yards and arguably replaced with their proposed detention areas, would be inaccurate and incorrect and misleading, and therefore would need changing. The wider issue is one that, as I say, I'm hoping you'll hear greater detail from the council on, but I am aware that the council is looking at sort of reference group, steering group terms of reference and that sort of thing in terms of getting this wider piece of strategic piece of work underway, and is talking to the stakeholders about it. And as I say, hopefully they can put enough detail in front of you such that you don't see the cart being before the horse.
Thank you.
This morning we heard about level one and level two distribution operators. Do you recall that?
I wasn't here, but I know what you're talking about.
And level one, I think, probably characterises freight forwarders. And you're saying you don't have any problem with that activity in the site?
Freight forwarders that are reliant on individual access to a rail siding, no. Don't have any problem with that.
But that
is my understanding of a level one.
Yeah. And level two is the area where you say it isn't within the designating power. Is that right?
I'm saying it's questionable whether level one is, because Kiwi Rail is not financially responsible for that, despite my clients being quite happy that that should occur.
Well, if Housing New Zealand builds a house and rents it out, isn't it financially responsible for the housing?
It's financially responsible. Yes, I would say it is.
So what's the distinction between that and this situation where Kiwi Rail establishes the precinct, provides the accommodation and leases it out?
Because it's not actually financially responsible for the activities that are going to occur within those buildings. If it contracted out the freight forwarders, said, we want you to do this freight forwarding for us, no problem.
Well,
just like it will with maybe loading logs or containers or other elements.
The person who lives in the Housing New Zealand house, their house economics are not managed by Housing New Zealand, but Housing New Zealand is still financially responsible for the work.
Yeah, and I can't think of any Housing New Zealand designations, actually. But
There are a lot. But in relation to distribution, level two distribution centres, if KiwiRail falls outside its power to acquire the land for a work, then it has to offer it back. So isn't that a natural control on the extent to which they may utilise the site for activities that may be in competition with Northeast Industrial Zone?
Theoretically, but in my view, it's a better practice for you to be clear what it is you're authorising them to do in this designation. And that's really what this submission is looking for. It's looking for clarity that they can't just stray outside of the scope of what has been authorised by inaccurate or loose definitional wording. I can draw a comparison, actually, in not with Kāinga Ora, but perhaps with the Ministry of Education. In terms of schools, these days when we are renewing district plans, we put a definition of what educational activities that school can undertake within the financial responsibility of the minister in terms of those activities. In other words, it's a definition of the umbrella term of education activities that schools are designated for. And really, I'm kind of arguing to you that you should take a similar approach here in terms of probably an umbrella under condition one as to really what are the activities this thing is authorising, and linking obviously to the spatial relationship of the concept plan, which is already proposed in that condition.
But you're suggesting a condition that you're not satisfied even falls within that power, which relates to freight forwarding.
I'm suggesting it doesn't, but you may obtain sufficient. I don't think this matter was particularly thoroughly addressed for you in KiwiRail's legal submissions, but you may get further advice from the council's legal submissions. I'm not presenting you with legal submissions. I'm just a mere planner. But I'm suggesting to you that if I was sitting in your shoes, as I often am, I wouldn't at this point be satisfied that those activities could be undertaken that way through the designation. Right. Now, I may be making a fuss about this because my client actually doesn't have a problem with level one users operating with this freight hub. I'm just putting, if you like, my planner hat on and saying, let's get this right, because otherwise it's exposing, obviously, decisions to challenge further down the track.
Well, in relation to your point that the terms of the designation is the right tool to manage authority compared with the offer back requirements, testing that assumption, if the designation is approved and it finds its way into the district plan, it's foreseeable that in an omnibus review of the district plan, the underlying zoning will change because it would make no sense to retain it as an underlying rural zone.
Correct.
And if the condition is placed on the designation, but the underlying zoning authorises activities that would be directly in competition with Northeast Industrial Zone, that condition would not be a tool that would prevent that activity.
I've made that point entirely in my evidence.
So that comes back to my question. Isn't the offer back obligation the most effective tool to constrain KiwiRail to operate within its or lawful activities.
Well, that's about ownership of land.
No, it's not.
Well,
to use the land for its authorized purpose. If not, you offer it back.
Yes. And I think you referred to a case on day one that I haven't looked at in great detail, but sort of familiar, Craigie Trust, which really was about, did the airport, Auckland Airport, need to own this land or should it be offered back?
Mm.
And was that practically achievable? We found in the circumstances it wasn't.
Mm. Yeah. So that was, I think, McLean and Auckland Airport case. I think that's the name of it. There is another case called Hull and the Attorney General, which is a Housing New Zealand case, where the question was whether land that Housing New Zealand had designated for Housing New Zealand had designated for housing purposes would be have to be offered back once it was zoned for industrial and commercial purposes. And the Court of Appeal there looked to the general authority of Housing New Zealand for urban development to conclude that a gazette notice that said for housing purposes incorporated both industrial and commercial land. Do you accept that when we look at the scope of what is operating a railway line, operating, providing facilities for people who choose to freight on a railway line is part of a railway line operation?
Not. If it was a minor and ancillary part of it, I probably wouldn't have a problem. But the scale of this, 15 hectares of land, is of a different order. And so I'm really just saying you need to be satisfied rather than me. You need to be satisfied that that reasonably comes within the financial responsibility of the requiring authority. And some of those cases you're referring to may give you that comfort.
All right. And there are obvious difficulties with the wording that you've proposed in terms of enforceability. First of all, what is a freight forwarder? And how do you know when their operations are reliant? And what does individual access mean to a rail siding? Are you just putting that forward as a sort of sketched on the back of a envelope type condition?
I'm putting that forward as a starting point for your consideration.
Right.
And because it is consistent with the term level one user that I think has been referred to by the parties.
But other than that point, the people that you represent are broadly supportive of the consequence of a freight hub, which is a concentration of distribution and transport modalities in that locality.
Well, the rail hub will serve, let's call it the level two user, because the number and breadth of that over the next, well, currently now, but over the next 15, 20 plus years, will be substantial, and that will be coming in, let's call it the freight hub, into the rail hub and out of, which also links up the air. So that's why we're supportive of the concept in general, as long as the master planning and the integration, the unencumbered access from, level two can get into the rail hub to make it all work. And that is why, on one side, we're in the Central New Zealand distribution hub stakeholder group, but on the other side, getting very, very well defined on what a level one user is. This is one opportunity, really, to make it world defining.
Right. And in terms of access to the rail hub, I presume the Commerce Commission and all those other bodies are responsible for making sure that there is access to those services. That's not something specifically that we, other than the physical access, we're not managing how railway does its business. You accept that?
No, but I think that that's why that stakeholder group is important, and it's set up, and that the operation of how the whole area works, because if it turns out in 20 years' time that there's over dimension, over width, over weight, payloads coming from level two user into the rail hub, then there's situations like that should be grade separated, for instance, so that public don't interfere with operations, etc. So this is a big picture. What does it look like at the end?
Yeah,
and that's why we're getting quite specific on the level one user.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. All right. So before it's actually lunch hour, but we're scheduled for Zanita Park. Welcome. Yes, thank you.
Thank you. How about that?
That's perfect.
Great, wonderful, thank you. Okay, so overall I've put in the written submission, and me and my hubby Mike, we're pretty supportive of this freight hub. We live, just to let you know, we live just on the boundary to the Bunnythorpe region, so probably about a kilometre away from where the freight hub will actually be. However, despite being in support, I just wanted to first of all acknowledge, and I think you might have written copies of this, by the way, but I'm just going to go through it, and to acknowledge that the freight hub for the Bunnythorpe community, it's caused a lot of worry and disruption to our community over the last 18 months. And it's been really hard to see, and as part of that community, and knowing that there's other people in our community who will lose their houses, that's, to be honest, it's heartbreaking, and we strongly feel very sympathetic towards those people. It's very hard to see. We're also quite concerned about the people, very concerned about the people who are on the boundaries of the freight hub, because we fear that those are the people who are most likely to be impacted by the freight hub. And so things like lighting and in particular noise are going to be things that are going to be really important to be looked at closely. We realise, of course, that KiwiRail has actually looked at this, very well, and we think that some of the things they're proposing are really good, and we strongly support those. So, like the building of the wall, the band, the plantings, all those are going to be really good things. And if the KiwiRail freight hub does go ahead, we'd really want to see those happening sooner rather than later, so that the properties and the community on the edge of the freight hub are going to have the benefits of those as early as possible. We noticed that the council in one of the technical notes recently, they were looking at potentially whether some of those boundary houses should actually be included in the notice of requirement. And we definitely feel if there's any way that there can be at least be a conversation where those people ask, do you want to keep your house or do you want to sell it, that that would be really good. So then people have got that choice of whether they would prefer to stay despite the fact there might be a little bit more noise, or whether they would actually like to just leave the area. And having that option, I think, would make people feel a lot happier. So although we really are very sympathetic towards the people now in our community who will be adversely affected, we do feel that overall there actually are some really good benefits that the Freight Hub will bring to the Bunnythorpe community. And that's really the reason I wanted to talk to you today, to say that actually, despite all the bad stuff, there's actually a flip side that could be a really good side to the Bunnythorpe community, at least from our point of view. And actually more than just the Bunnythorpe community, but just in general to start off with. So I've come from a very strong conservation background. I ran the Kiwi Conservation Club for many years in Manawatu, and that's my background at university as well. So I'm very pro trains. Trains are great. I think given the world at the moment, you see the floods and the fires and everything on the news each night, climate change is something really critical for everyone to be considering at the moment. And so to have this opportunity to have more trains and less trucks on the road, that's just a win-win for everybody as far as we can see. We also feel, and I should give a bit of background, we have a little batch down on the Kapiti Coast, and for quite a few years I worked in Wellington, so we'd be living down on the Kapiti Coast as well as in Palmy for quite a few years. We saw the Kapiti Expressway coming down there, and with that Kapiti Expressway there are just native plantings. You'll see as you drive along the expressway there's native plantings everywhere. In our view, it's wonderful. You drive down there and it's just so beautiful to see all these native plants growing everywhere. We feel that for Bunnythorpe is actually a really big bonus that will come about from this Freight Hub, to have all those extra native plantings instead of scruffy little grass and blackberry and gorse, to see the native plantings. That's going to bring a lot of joy to people, we feel. We also feel that the stormwater ponds which are proposed are also going to be really good from a recreational as well as an amenity value, that people will go there in the weekends, they'll have their bikes, they'll have their kids, they'll be walking around these stormwater ponds, and actually it will be actually a really nice thing. Bring a lot of people to Bunnythorpe, and it will also make people happy. I would like to just note that for the fact that Kiwi Rail has been looking quite closely at the fish, we think that's really important. We know the streams at the moment are degraded, and it seems to us there's actually a potential that the actual quality of the fish life in the area could actually be improved by this Freight Hub, because of the fact that people actually think about it and will sit down and decide, you know, what's a good thing to do for the fish. We can see that there's a little bit of disagreement between ecologists about what's the best way to do it, but that will leave for the ecologists to sort out. But the fact that it's even been looked at in the first place to me seems like a really good thing. Another benefit that we think is really important, particularly for the Bunnythorpe East residents, is the fact that the main trunk line will be shifted across by 10 metres. So at the moment, the trains currently go, and when the trains go, they're very close to those houses, and we hear people talk about the vibration of the houses as the trains go by. At a kilometre away, we can tell you when it's 11 o'clock at night, that's when the 11 o'clock train goes. So, you know, the train noise does travel. So, but having that track line shifted across and then a wall put in front of it, we feel for Bunnythorpe East residents, that's actually going to be quite a good bonus over what the current situation is. And then, of course, the fact that the railway road shifts as well is also going to be good for those residents. Another really good benefit we see of the Freight Hub is the fact that for the roading, that the northern part of the zone may be able to be used for a flyover, which will actually be used to take the traffic as part of the Freight Ring Road, which I'm sure you guys know all about. But so that at the moment, the traffic goes right through the middle of Bunnythorpe. So I think there's an estimated 10,000 cars a day and 1,000 heavy vehicles, so trucks and things. At the moment, that goes right through the middle of Bunnythorpe, but the plan is that by putting this flyover across, that the traffic will actually go across that instead, and we think that that will actually mean that, and I know there's quite a lot of disagreement within the community, but from our perspective, it's actually going to make the village more village-like. You can make those roads in the village 30 kilometres an hour, make it very quiet and peaceful, and the traffic will just go ahead. Again, looking down at the Kapiti Expressway when we were down there, so in Raumati, we heard the same concerns. Everybody's like, what's this expressway going to do? Is it going to be worse? Is it going to be better? Well, in our viewpoint, it's been fantastic. All the, you know, why can I used to have heavy traffic day and night going through it? Now it's just a little suburban place and the traffic's going on the expressway, and it leaves the communities below to be a little community. Down around Raumati where we are, you've got the overpass there, and you can walk underneath it and talk to someone. You can bike underneath it. The cars go. It really, it's the noises up above. The sound, the walls on the edge of the expressway nowadays are just amazing, to be honest. So we actually see that as a bonus rather than a downside. We see it strongly as a bonus. Let's get rid of all those trucks and cars out in the middle of Bunnythorpe and let's put them up and out of the village's way. We also, just about near the end here, but we also think that the freight hub will bring lots of jobs to Bunnythorpe, and it'll be a really good economic benefit. We also have our fingers crossed that it might mean we get a few more facilities within the Bunnythorpe village. So currently there's pretty much a dairy and a pub, so that's not a lot of things. The one takeaway we had closed at the end of last year, and we've often heard people say, wouldn't it be lovely to have a cafe, you know, a takeaway place, something like that. We think that this potential growth that might come from the freight hub might bring, you know, a couple more cafes and things that actually will be to the benefit of everyone. And I just wanted to finish off by saying that even though we think that the freight hub will bring many benefits to the Bunnythorpe region, it's clear that if it does go ahead, that for quite a few years there will be a lot of disruptions to the Bunnythorpe community. So we just wanted to raise the idea, and we've heard other people mention this a little bit talking in the community, is that potentially having something positive that Kiwi Rail could do for the community as well might be something that would really make people feel a lot happier. So we're thinking along the lines of potentially if Kiwi Rail is able to contribute towards a community facility, we're thinking perhaps a playground that might have a train theme, miniature trains, model trains, information boards about the project. Something that might make people think in the weekend, oh, we'll go out to Bunnythorpe because that's the train place. It's got the really cool playground. And look, we'll go and walk down to the stormwater ponds. We'll have a look at over the lookouts of the freight hub. That actually, that might be something, a real win that would benefit a lot of people and really might make the partnership between Kiwi Rail and the community a lot happier for everyone. So I have no idea whether you have any powers or anything to be able to suggest it, but we just thought, well, let's throw it out there. Maybe it is something that Kiwi Rail could do, and it would be really, you know, could be something that was really positive for just everybody. So that's pretty much what I wanted to say. You're welcome to ask questions, and I'll do my best to answer if I can. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Ms. Park. Thank my commissioners.
Thank you, Ms. Park, for coming in, and thank you for providing us with this as well. You live on Roberts Line, that's right, isn't it? Do you have any concerns about the closure of the Roberts Line railway crossing?
We would be super happy to have it closed. There's been 3 fatalities on that road in the last 3 years. There were the 2 doctors, and then about 18 months before that, there was an Indian lady that was killed there. We actually got 2 children the same age as the doctors who also are both doctors. It hit us pretty hard to think that we're one of the last people. When I went past our house, they were dead 2 minutes later, or probably 30 seconds later, to be honest. To have that road shut, it's such a dangerous crossing. The problem is you lift up over it and it looks like the road is going ahead, but it's not. There's another road in between time. There's a little twist just right at the end, so someone new to the area can't see the stop sign until it's too late. And we note that both of those accidents were people new to the area. It's fine if you've gone that road 100 times before. If you're the first person, it's your first time down that road, your chances of having an accident are so much higher. So we would be absolutely delighted to have that road shut and to have no more heart-wrenching stories in the newspaper about more people who have been killed on that corner.
Thank you.
I don't have any questions for you, Ms. Park. I would like to thank you for your time and coming in today.
And I don't have any questions either, so thank you very much. It's been much appreciated. very helpful to get locals' perspectives on this. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, so that means we adjourn for lunch, and we've got till one, so we've got less than 20 minutes to have lunch. We're going to reconvene at 1 p.m. to respect the fact that people have come here to speak at particular times. Just one housekeeping matter. The two cases that I referred to Mr. Thomas for your reference is, first is McElroy and Auckland International Transport, International Airport Limited, reported in the New Zealand Law Reports, Volume 3, 2008, Volume 3 at 262. And the other one is the Attorney General and Hull, which is reported in the 2000 Volume 3 NZLR at 63. And I'm not doing private research. It just so happens I ran a case for Meridian Energy called Guidehill and the Attorney General. And so it's very fresh in my mind from about a year ago, where the issue was whether or not Meridian Energy, or sorry, the Attorney General, owns some land around the margins of the Waitaki Electric Power Scheme, of which Meridian was the lessee. The question is whether there was an offer-back obligation, and the High Court decided there wasn't. So that's why I know about those cases, not because I've been doing private research. Thank you.